nothing else we could, and together, just stop for a minute and totally think through the scriptures, think through life, think through things, and realize that there are two different types of love in this world. What we naturally think and feel and express and believe is love, and then the love of God. You and I naturally love. You and I naturally, and the world will naturally believe we love, and have ways that we naturally believe we love people. And what I told you last week was, if by nature, if our nature is sin stained, then even that love is sin stained. Even our natural effort of love is sin stained. So it's faulty. But there is a love of God and a love of Christ that flows into us by the Spirit and is then to flow out of us by the Spirit as well. And so I really want this family, I really want us to understand that it's not enough for us to say, I love people, or I love my kids, or I love my spouse, or I love, okay, good, that's wonderful. But we have to let the Spirit lead us and take us into the love of God and the love of Christ. That is true love. That is true love. The verse, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, is the verse that we keyed off of into our study of 1 John. And it says, therefore, be imitators of God, mimic God as or like beloved children. Now stop right there. We are to imitate God as beloved children. So we are beloved. We are dearly loved children of God, and we're to imitate Him. So He loves us dearly, and we're to imitate Him. It's not uncommon to see a little boy come out of the bathroom with shaving cream all over his face because he saw his daddy shaving one day. It's not uncommon to see a little girl come out of her mommy's room with high-heeled shoes on that are way too big because she loves her mommy. And we imitate. And there's long been a saying that says imitation is the greatest form of flattery. And so imitating God is the greatest form, maybe, of showing our love for Him and our appreciation for Him. So therefore, be imitators or mimickers of God as beloved children, verse 2, and walk in love, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. So we imitate God as beloved children. We imitate Him, and we walk in love as Christ. We imitate Christ also, who loved us and died for us on the cross. And so there's this imitating and this walking in like Christ and loving. We love God and we love Christ and we love others. We imitate this love of God in Christ has to be imitated or mimicked. It has to be shown and displayed, and that's not our natural form of love. That's not our natural ability or capacity to love. It's not there. But if you look at verse 3, the very next word in Ephesians 5:3 is but, and there's this big contrast drawn there. And he's saying, I'm not talking about the love that the world has. I'm not talking about how they express love. And there's a whole lot of physical love and covetousness, which means love of things and stuff. There's a big contrast between these loves. There are different types of love. And you and I, in our natural capacity, although we think we may be experts and geniuses at loving people. We do not. It is just as sin-stained and faulty as anything else we come to God with until we come with the Holy Spirit, with the life He breathes into us, with the cleansing blood of Christ, and we are in tune with that Spirit and we are able to imitate and mimic His love. That's the message. 1 John is telling us all about that love. John is the author of love. If there's a gospel author of love, it's John. He loves to talk about the love of God and the love of Christ. I want to talk to you today. This is what we're going to do. Next couple weeks, we're going to talk about this subject. Today I'm going to lead you through this passage of Scripture in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. But I'm really going to talk from a pastor's heart today, from a pastor's point of view, from a perspective. Next week I'm going to go into more detail on exactly kind of some principles of how we love like God. Today I want to talk to you really about laying kind of a foundation of that. And it's really my heart coming out, in a sense. And here's the reason why. So every morning I go to work, and we were working starting at 4 o'clock in the morning, and then we went to 5, and now we're back to 6, thank you. But every morning, that's a really quiet, beautiful ride to work, and I pray, and I just talk to God, and I prayed for many or most of you, and I've just asked the Lord to really, I've prayed, I want to be a light at my work, I want fruit, I want it to be a Christian company, I want them to see Christ in me, and I'm just praying for my family and my wife and you and everything. And so it's a really quiet, beautiful time there. In the last 2 weeks, I've had two ladies come up to me at work, and they all know I'm a pastor, and they've actually come up to me and said, the first lady said, would you keep me in your prayers and keep my grandson in your prayers? And she showed me a picture on his phone, and we talked a little bit about the hope of that, and I just stopped right there in the shop, right, and we just prayed together. I just prayed right there, and we prayed. And I thought, wow, Lord, thank you very much. You know, you're answering my prayer. And then this last week, maybe about Thursday, another lady comes up to me. And she says, could I talk to you for a minute? And we're in the middle of the shop. And I said, yeah, what's up? She says, I have a 19-year-old son. No, first she asked me, do you have any older kids or grandkids? And I said, well, of course. And she said, I said, what do you mean? And she says, I have a 19-year-old. He's a problem. Just got out of jail. And he got out of jail. I helped him a little bit. But now he wants, and my husband, he's really, really sharp. I really believe in him. And he says, no, we don't want to do that. And I really have trouble saying no. I feel unloving to say no. But my husband knows best, usually. He's got a really good perspective, and I don't know what to do because I feel unloving. Now, she's not a believer that I know of, but she wanted to talk to me about that. For some reason, she wanted my advice, and I gave it. And I realized that right there in that little picture is two different perspectives of love. She said, she feels unloving, and he said, no, this is love to do this. And even in that little moment, there's different love. And so love could be anything you and I want it to be. I mean, you feel unloving, and he feels, no, this is best. This is real love for this child. And then on top of that, we have the love of God in Christ. What's that? And so Terry and I have been living life. We've faced that exact situation, and I've had other people also come to me. Jeremy has called me from his church dealing with some real issues there that are totally surprising to him as a new young pastor. And I go, oh no, this is the normal path. Get used to it. As someone who believes they are loving their spouse, and man, it's anything but love in you and I's eyes. And so there is all this thought and perspective about love out there, and we just have to focus in and find out what is true love. What are we really supposed to do in these hard and difficult moments? And quite honestly, we're just living life. This is not abnormal. This is just life. And probably most of us in here could come to at least two or three or four different situations in our mind where we've go, I have really had to act, make some difficult decisions here. And I was really confused on what to do about how do I love my wife, husband, son, daughter, mom, dad, neighbor. I mean, this is a really tricky thing, and I don't want to feel unloving, but I want to help. Are you with me? Have you ever had that moment? I have all the time. That's part of life. How do I love this person? And it feels like I'm not being loving, but I want to help, but I don't think that's... But what do I do? And it's all around me right now. In my life, as I'm living life, that is all around me right now. It's coming at me from every direction. People going, Terry, what do I do? Terry, how do I love Terry? And so I'm going, okay, I'm hearing this scripture, and I'm going, Lord, I am hearing you. You have brought me to this scripture at this time for this moment to equip me to help in these conversations. And so it's pretty amazing. And I feel like I really believe we're at the right place, and I'm going to share this with you. But I need you, and I hope you'll keep praying about what you think is your best effort at love may be a little short if it's not God's love and the Spirit-led love that He gives us. If it's not the love of God and of Christ. And we're to imitate His love. We're to imitate Him and walk in Christ's love, not my best effort at love. Okay? So we got to go there. So the big question and the big thought is, I don't know if you ever stopped and thought about that particular phrase. Therefore, be imitators of God. Have you ever stopped and thought about that phrase for a minute? You are just being told to imitate God. That's not a small task. Imitate God. Okay? You and I imitate Him. That's huge, right? That's monument. How do you, you and I imitate Almighty God and then walk in love like Christ? I mean, imitate Jesus. That's not a small task. That love is not a small love, and that's not just my best effort. That's something well beyond what I have capacity for here. That's big. And so we're going to need some help with that. And we get it in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. We do get help. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. And I'm going to tell you before we start this that this little paragraph, these first five verses, kind of go in a circle. We start out here, and we go here, 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 and we end up back at the top. John runs us in a little circle right here, okay? You'll see that as we read this. And we're looking for how to imitate God, how to love like Christ, and what he's talking about. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. Everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And so the circle's completed. Everyone who believes Jesus is the Christ is verse 1. The one who believes Jesus is the Son of God, verse 5. We've gone in a circle. And the key verse for you and I in here may be the word victory. We want victory. I have a situation, and I want to love, I want to reflect, I want to imitate, and I want victory. I want Jesus and God to be glorified and magnified in this person, to overcome, and this person to see that love and to receive that love. I want victory in this very difficult situation. I want victory. And so he's there, and he tells us that this is how we do it. Now, let's just unpack this for just a minute. Chapter 5, verse 1. Everyone who believes Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. So everyone who believes, that's who he's talking about, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, he is the King, he is God's chosen one. And in verse 5, he says, everyone who believes Jesus is the Son of God. And in chapter 4, verse 14, he says, we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. So you've been born of God, born again of God, by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son, the Savior of the world. You are born again of God. This is not a generally, we're all children of God. Everybody on this, that is not what he's talking about. That is not this. This is the person who is born of God, who has faith, who believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son, the Savior. And we need all three. We need the King, we need the Son, and we need a Savior. And everyone who believes that, who loves the Father, everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. That's just a statement. That's just saying if you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son, the Savior of the world, you believe in that, everyone, you love the Father, you love those around you. You love those brothers and sisters in Christ who believe like you do. You have physical fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters, and you love them because they're your family. That's what he's saying. So in this room this morning, most of us, not all, but most of us believe that Jesus is the Christ, is the Son, is the Savior of the world. And we love each other. That's just a mark of who we are. I love you. Doesn't mean I always like you, but I love you. And that's the truth of it. So, we just love each other. We're born of God. The Spirit comes in. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of Him. Verse 2, and this is how we know. This is how we know we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. That's the mark. That's the knowing of, am I loving this person? Am I loving these people? Because I love God and I obey His commandments. For this is the love of God. This is how we love God. This is your love for God. My love for God is expressed in, it is shown in, it naturally flows out of us by keeping his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. So, how do we do it? How somebody says, I love God. I will see that, and you will see that, and you will know that because we walk in his commandments. We keep his commandments. The path of love to God and to each other, to someone around us, it's always within the commandments. When you walk the path of God, the stone pathway or the mulch pathway are the commandments of God. It's the teaching of God. It's his word. And that is our love for him and for others. You're walking in his commandments. So if you want to love someone else, you will walk in the commandments with them. Your love will express the commandments and the teaching of God to them. It will never deviate from his teaching, or you're not loving them with the love of God, because he's not going to come off his commandments. If he says what you're doing is wrong, he's not going to come off his commandments to love you. There's going to need to be forgiveness. There's going to need to be repentance. But he's never going to come off those commandments. And so you and I, if we're faced with a son or a daughter like this lady was, and she says, I love him and I want to help him, but he's doing this and this and this, the only thing I can say is, if you love him, you've got to love him on the path of the commandments. And if he's off of that, you have to oppose it. You're not loving him by okaying what he's doing or what she's doing off of the commandments of God. You are not loving them. That may be your best natural effort, but you are not loving them. And in some cases, you are hurting them by okaying and patting them on the back and even enabling or helping them. So we know we love God, and we know we're loving this person because we keep the commandments. We stay in the commandments. Pretty simple. We love him. And his commandments are not burdensome. Why aren't they burdensome? Sometimes, and so many times, people in the church, when you just start talking about the Bible, you just start talking about the commandments, and all of a sudden people just get all contorted and out of shape. Go, oh, man, obedience, obedience, obedience. And he says, this is not burdensome. How is that? Why do so many Christians I know, when I start talking about keeping the commandments and obeying and reading your Bible, and they go, oh, man. And he says, it's not burdensome. Well, let me tell you why. Because it's more of a love thing than obeying thing. It's more of an imitating thing than obeying thing. Because I love my Father. And I want to imitate him. I want to go put the shave cream on. And I'm not near old enough to shave, but I want to be just like you, hoo-hoo. I want to imitate him. And I want to walk like you do. I want to shave like you do. And I want to walk, and I want to... And it's not burdensome. I love him. I love him. And I want to imitate him. In the commandments, he just didn't stop and form a committee up in heaven and go, well, just see, what should we do? Justice, righteousness, love, how should they live? Let's see, let's put this together. This is an expression of who he is. This flows right out of his character. The justice here, the righteousness here, the love here, it's just him in print. You and I walking in this is much more imitating and loving and being like him than it is going, oh man, the 10 do's and don'ts of the Bible. Ah, can't we get past that? That's what we do, isn't it? And he says, no, wait a minute. Imitate me. Love me. Keep my commandments. Love each other. Walk the path of the commandments and imitate me for all to see. Walk in love. You will do it and it won't be burdensome because you love me. That's how you know. This is how you know you love me. You walk that path. Whoa, that's pretty cool. You want to really know you're loving someone? You walk the path. You love your Father because you imitate Him and you walk the path of the commandments and the Word of God. And you know you love Him, and then you just pass it right on. It just goes right on to your brothers and sisters. We love them. It's all within the commands of the Bible. And the results, here's the results. For everyone who has been born of God, and remember, verse 1 and 2, you've been born of God, you love the Father, you love them by keeping the commandments, by loving God. Everyone who has been born of God believes Jesus is the Christ. Everyone walking this path overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. What's the result? What's the end? You've walked the path. You've imitated the Father. You love Him in the commandments, and you love each other, and we know it because we walk the path. And the result is the light shines. They see Him being lived out in us, and it's victory. It's the victory. And the victory is our faith, it says. Why does it say that? Why all of a sudden does faith come in here? Well, it's not all of a sudden. It's been here. It's believe. It's faith. Because here's why. Because you and I are going to need faith to walk this path in this world. Because their path goes in a different direction, and oftentimes their path opposes our path. We're walking a path that is very unusual. And to walk this path of God's commands with someone you love dearly who has come off the path is very hard. It may not, listen, the hardest time for you and I to walk the path of God's Word, the hardest time isn't when it's somebody at work asking me for advice. The hardest time isn't when it's some visitor at church that comes up to me and shares what's going on in their family. That's not the hardest time for me to stay on the commands. Do you know what the hardest time is? The hardest time is when my daughter, who I love, says, "Dad, what do I do here?" And I have to stay on the commandments. If she's come off the commandments, I've got to say to her, "Babe, you've come off the commandments. Come back on. I love you." That's the love of Christ. Or I go, "Oh man, I just love you so much. It's going to all work out, man. It's going to be so, it's just because you're so perfect in every way. It's just going to be beautiful and everything." That's easy. That's my love. That's my natural love. I've got a greater love for her. It's in the Spirit. It's in the love of God and Christ. And I want that light to go, whew. So I go, "Babe, come back. Come on to the path." That's the hardest time. That's why I need faith. I need faith in my Father. I need faith in His Word and His character printed out for me. I need faith in what I believe. I need faith that I truly walk with Jesus. He is the Son. He is the Son. That's when my faith has to rise to the top. It's with my loved ones. It's with my closest friends that say to me, "Oh, Terry, I'm struggling." And I say, "Friend, I love you. Get on the path." That's a hard time. Faith is the victory. It's your faith in those moments that's the victory. It's your faith in those moments that Jesus Christ is glorified, and they see the light in you, and they see the love in you. That's what I want my daughter to see. I want her to see the love and the light of Christ. And she will be victorious. It'll take faith. And the victory is our faith. That's what he says. I like the end of this. Who is it that overcomes the world? Except the one who begins this journey, the one who believes that Jesus is, he is the Son of God. Who overcomes? Who wins? It's that person. It's that person who believes that Jesus is the Son and the Christ and the Savior, and who loves the brothers, and who imitates the love of God, and by faith walks the path of his commands, and the light shines out. That person wins. That person overcomes the world. That person shows Jesus Christ. And that's not easy. It's not always easy. But that's the victory. When, and this is a legitimate question, when does the victory come? If I'm going to shine the light, and it's victory, when is this victory gonna come? Well, all I know is that it's promised. And I would ask you, does it really matter? It's you and I that want it to be next week. It's just you and I that want it to be 6 months from now at the latest. Does it really matter if it comes next week or 6 years from now or in eternity? The victory is promised. You will overcome the world. You will get victory over this. That's what he promises. Let him plug it on the calendar. He will pencil it in, victory. October 15th, victory. December 2020, victory. And let him fill in your calendar. All you and I need to really know is if you stay in this, you'll have victory. Do you want to see this person see the light and come back to Christ? Do you want this person to win and to be... Then you just stay on the path. He'll pencil it in for you. You stay on the path. He's promised it. He has promised it. That's your only hope. Leave the path. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm sticking with the promise. I'm sticking with God. I'm going to imitate Him by His Spirit. So, wrap this paragraph up. The journey and the walk begins by believing Jesus is the Savior, Son, and Christ. The Christ, the Anointed One. We all need the Christ. We all need the King. We all need the Lord. We all need God's chosen. We all need the Son, the reflection, the character, God in the flesh. We all need Him, and we all need the Savior and the forgiveness. We all need that. We all have to be led by the Spirit in this, and I'm so glad we sang that song. You sang it so beautifully. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. I can't emphasize to you enough your need for the Spirit to lead and harness and create your love. Not your natural love, the love of God, imitating, creating the love of God in Christ in us. The Holy Spirit is essential. He gives us life, we can see and hear God. He helps us to remember. He prompts and leads us. He assures us, 1 John says. He gives us strength and confidence. And he makes our love real. Richard Lovelace, reading his book, Dynamics of Spiritual Renewal, he says, when the tide of the Spirit is flowing strongly in a sector of a church, that sector becomes like a healthy organism which neutralizes every poison in its system and uses constructively every source of strength. When the Spirit withdraws, even strengths become weaknesses, and weaknesses become poisonously destructive. That's the importance of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is leading and filling and creating our love, even our weaknesses become effective. Even our weaknesses become insignificant. They're neutralized. And he takes every little source of strength and he kind of bolsters it up and he fills us with love, and even our weaknesses just seem to become invisible for a while. That's what we need. I have plenty of weaknesses that need to become invisible. And in him, that Spirit will fill us with a love and a strength and a guidance in these times. But when the Spirit is not present, when the Spirit is not filling, when we are not leaning into the Spirit, even our strengths can become destructive and harmful and poisonous, because the Spirit is not flowing through them. And you know these people. You know these very nice people who are just very problematic and can't seem to find their own way out of a paper bag because they won't lean in to the Spirit of God. They are so nice in themselves and loving all in themselves. They won't come off of it and let the Spirit recreate them. And even their goodness becomes poisonous when it's not the Spirit. I can't express to us enough the importance of the Spirit. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. We need him to love. We need him. He will keep us on that path of God's commands. When our precious loved one says, Mom, Dad, to keep us from going, oh, baby, and to go, no, this is God's word. We will need the Spirit to put steel in our soul and love in our heart to stay on the path so they see the true light of God and of Christ. Holy Spirit. It's by our faith we begin to imitate our beloved Father and Jesus. This sounds so easy, and it's not easy, is it? When you're in a situation, every decision seems hard. But it's your faith that will be that strand of strength to the Bible, to the Spirit. I think it would be very helpful if I gave you one takeaway. And that takeaway is this. If you will look at this scripture, if you will look at the Bible, and if you will begin to think within yourself, by me reading it, asking God and his Spirit to fill me with it, I'm imitating my Father more than I'm obeying my Father. If you'll think of it as, I want to imitate my Father, I want to imitate my Savior rather than I have to obey. If you'll think of reading this and knowing this and living this more of loving my Father and loving my Savior and imitating Him who I love more than rules on a chalkboard in your classroom or at work, more than your work manual, more than your job description. If you begin to look at this as His character in print, and I want to be just like Him, I think it'll be easier for you to live it out and to share this love with those we love in hard times and hard decisions, because we're sharing the love and the character of Him, not just obeying. That's so cold and sterile, isn't it? And I obey things all over the place. I don't love anybody. That's not what this says. It says you're imitating, you are loving your Father and your Savior by doing this. That's what I want. So imitate Him. Imitate Him. Love Him back by being in this and staying on this path. This is much I know. There are many difficult paths, many difficult decisions that you and I are going to make today and this week and next week. And if you don't have one going right now, you're going to have one going. You're going to have to make a decision. You're going to be faced with someone, and maybe it's one of the precious loved ones near you who needs to kind of come back over onto the path, and you're going to need to love them with the love of Christ. This much we can say from the Word of God. He always helps us do right. He never helps or encourages us to do wrong. That's a simple, simple formula. He always helps us to do right. He never helps or encourages us in any way to do wrong. Matter of fact, He will bring conviction into our life when we do wrong. He provides a way. We have to walk through the door. Jesus died on the cross while we were yet sinners and provided a way. And we have to receive it. The prodigal comes home. The prodigal comes to the path. Next week, I'll break this down for you a little bit in finer detail. But He never, never helps us do wrong, never encourages us in our wrong, never ever. And if you ever find yourself talking, having a difficult conversation with someone, and you've ever come to some way that you're in some way encouraging them or helping them, you're not loving like God. Your love will be shortchanged. Share the love of Christ. Imitate the love of God. Imitate the love of Christ. Be ready to die on the cross, but they still have to receive it and walk up the path to the Father. Always help you do right. He'll never help you do wrong. I've had to be there with our kids at various points. We certainly just had to sometimes just step back and just say, this much I know, this is what the Word of God says. I'm going to let you and the Lord sort this out. My prayers are for you. They're with you. in the wee hours of the morning, if you have a difficult situation you're in, a difficult decision to make, Terry and I have had our share. And I'm always glad to talk to you. I'm always glad to get an outside perspective. Here's the path. Stay on the path. Imitate our Father's love. It's amazing. It's beautiful. But it isn't easy. It isn't easy. Let me pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. I am never in an end of the awe of your word and the beauty of your word, the depth of your love. And maybe that's because it's you, it's your character in print, and I'm always amazed at you, at your love and the profundity of what you say and who you are is just so amazing to me. And we need you. And we need your Spirit to cover us like a blanket and fill us. Because there are many, many difficult decisions we will make. And we don't even know how to love sometimes. I pray for us right now. I pray for this family of believers. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son, and the Savior. He is ours. By your Spirit, Lord, may we love with the love of Christ and your love. May we imitate you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.